This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Obama hits the campaign trail as Republicans head to New Hampshire.
Don't miss the numbers, the news, and Kai's final note. Subscribe to the Marketplace podcast. Find it on iTunes or online at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith in for Jeremy Hobson. Mitt Romney eked out a victory in the Iowa caucus last night, edging out Rick Santorum by just 8 votes. Candidates now move to New Hampshire to duke it out in a primary there. President Obama is off on the campaign trail as well. He'll be speaking just outside Cleveland today. Ohio is an important swing state in the election and has also been the site of a major union battle. Last November, unions scored a big win for collective bargaining rights. Is organized labor an election year issue? Jeff Tyler has that story.
Public sector workers like firefighters and teachers campaigned last November to overturn a new law limiting collective bargaining. And they succeeded. But was this really a sign of greater union influence? Greg R. Lawson is a policy analyst with the conservative Buckeye Institute. He says the influence of labor is limited to public sector unions.
There's not necessarily any evidence that shows that the private sector unions are kind of having this massive renaissance.
Mike Podhorzer, political director of the AFL-CIO, disagrees.
I've never seen a time when there's as much enthusiasm and unity within the labor movement to fight back on these things.
Fighting back requires money for things like advertising. Roger Geiger is with the Ohio chapter of the National Federation of Independent Business. He says it's tough for small businesses to raise funds compared to organized labor.
They have a huge built-in advantage, and that is that they can use union dues for political purposes.
Money from outside Ohio is expected to flow to the state from both sides in this battle. Professor John Russo studies labor at Youngstown State University. He says labor unions don't have to match their opponents' fundraising efforts dollar for dollar.
I think that the manpower that organized labor has, together with all the community groups, make it very difficult for the Republicans to win.
But he says it will be close. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Overseas markets are mixed this morning. London's FTSE is up 0.1%. Germany's DAX is down 0.4%. And mama, don't take my Kodachrome off the New York Stock Exchange. Kodak just got a warning from the NYSE that it will get booted off the big board if it can't boost its average stock price over $1 a share. U.S. markets made a strong showing yesterday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 1.4% to close at 12,397. Several European countries will stage big bond auctions today. Much of the drama of Europe's debt crisis has played out on the bond market, as governments like Italy and Spain have tried to borrow, and investors have made their feelings plain, demanding higher and higher interest rates. Today, it's Germany's turn. It's aiming to borrow $6.5 billion. Joining us now live to talk about this is our own Stephen Beard in London. Good morning, Stephen.
Hello, Stacey.
Stephen, Germany's economy has remained strong, even as Greece and other European countries have struggled. Will they have any trouble selling bonds?
No. Germany is one of Europe's most creditworthy nations. It's likely to borrow all it needs today and at a pretty low rate of interest, around about the American, super cheap American rate, around 1.9%. However, compare that with the 7% plus that Italy now has to pay, more than three times Germany's rate. And, of course, paying so much interest makes it more difficult for Italy to pay off its debts.
Right. But isn't Germany suffering like the rest of Europe in this debt crisis?
No, far from it. In fact, it's benefited. as investors have steered clear of lending to the likes of Italy, Spain, Greece and other southern European countries, that money has to go somewhere. The investors have ploughed it into Germany instead. And that, of course, has made it easier and cheaper for Germany to borrow. Barry Bosworth is a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution and an advisor to President Carter. He told me Germany has also profited from the declining euro.
If you're a German businessman or worker even, you think this crisis is kind of a good thing. It improves your competitiveness by driving down the price of the euro and making European goods more attractive in world markets.
And since Germany is by far the biggest exporter in the eurozone, it's benefited the most. You can really see the stark contrast between the fortunes of Germany and its weaker European partners in the unemployment figures. Germany's just announced an unemployment rate of 6.8%, a 20-year low, while Spain has reported its unemployment rate has now reached 23%.
Wow. Stephen Beard in London. Thank you, Stephen.
Okay, Stacey.
Show Marketplace how much you like us. Stay connected to our hosts, reporters, and top stories on Facebook. Find us at facebook.com/APM Marketplace.
It's been a pretty mild winter so far in much of the country. There hasn't been a lot of snow. Balmy temperatures have left the upper Midwest drier than normal. And that's been a mixed economic blessing for places like Ohio. From WCPN in Cleveland, Brian Bull has more.
So far, road crews and plows have had it easy, compared to last winter's thick snowdrifts and blizzards. Brent Kovacs of the Ohio Department of Transportation says so far, the state has used roughly 20,000 tons of salt on roads.
Compared to this time last year, we used approximately 202,000 tons of salt. That is about a relative savings of more than $11 million in salt alone, statewide.
That's dollars many local governments could use these days. But not everyone's giddy about the sparse winter.
You're making me cry.
Guy Naren is a racing coach with a high-rise ski club in Cleveland. A major race this weekend could be jeopardized by warming temperatures. Naren says he's also concerned about the resort where the event is supposed to be held.
They probably make maybe a third of their revenue right before Christmas, right after New Year's, and that's certainly got to hurt them quite a bit.
After this week's snowfall, Cleveland has about 10 inches. Less than two-thirds the seasonal average. In Cleveland, I'm Brian Bull for Marketplace.
And finally, your morning routine is about to get a little more expensive. Starbucks is raising prices again. A 1% price hike will hit customers in the Northeast and Southwest and will mean a 12-ounce cup of coffee costs about 10 cents more. And the New York Times will charge New Yorkers about 50 cents more on newsstands. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report. APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.